Usually, when we talk about a high-end dining experience, there is this expectation of immaculate, frictionless hospitality. You walk through the physical doors, the host smiles, the lighting is just right.
Exactly, and someone effortlessly takes your coat.
Right. And a glass of water just like magically appears on your table before you even realize you're thirsty. It's this beautiful, orchestrated ballet of anticipation.
Every element is tactile, it's visible, and immediately responsive to what you need.
Yeah, but then you look at how those exact same restaurants handle their digital front doors, and that orchestrated ballet turns into a clumsy, frustrating mess.
Oh, totally. It's jarring.
If you've ever tried to book a table on your phone while walking to your car,
Yeah.
or try to decipher a menu on a cracked screen in the bright sun, you know exactly what we are talking about today.
We are looking at a digital landscape that is, well, the absolute definition of digital friction. And it stands in stark contrast to the hospitality these businesses pride themselves on providing in person.
So to you, the learner listening right now, we are jumping straight into a really fascinating stack of sources all about optimizing restaurant websites.
Specifically focusing on the hyper-competitive Orange County market.
Right, the OC market. And our central theme today is speed as a service. Okay, let's unpack this, because this isn't just a technical IT manual about megabytes and server response time.
No, not at all. It's a deep look into human psychology.
And business survival. We're going to explore why a slow website isn't just some minor technical glitch. It's a direct, measurable hit to a restaurant's revenue.
Absolutely.
Our mission today for this deep dive is to equip you with the knowledge of how digital friction forms a brand impression before a guest ever even tastes the food, and how to logically prioritize fixing it.
The psychology of the search itself is really the foundational piece here. Restaurant searches are almost universally driven by immediate urgency.
Oh, for sure.
Think about the mindset of the person searching. They aren't sitting at a desktop computer with a massive monitor and unlimited patience. They are on the go.
The hangry searcher.
Exactly, the hangry
Who's
search.
in Orange County, traffic is a nightmare, you're looking for a lunch spot nearby, or maybe you're trying to figure out if a place has an open patio before you route your GPS there.
Right, you're rapidly checking parking. Or you're toggling between the three different tabs on your phone, comparing places for a Friday night dinner reservation.
And crucially, you're doing this on a mobile device, potentially on a spotty cellular connection. Competing options are quite literally one swipe away.
Especially in places like Irvine or Newport Beach. The next incredible sushi place is, what, only a quarter mile down the road?
Yeah, the stakes are incredibly high. And the window to capture that guest's attention is just incredibly short. To put this urgency into a real-world perspective, imagine walking up to a physical restaurant.
Okay.
You step inside, and the host makes you stand in the foyer for 5 minutes in total silence. They don't look at you, they don't speak to you, and they refuse to hand you a menu.
You'd leave immediately.
You'd probably turn around and walk into the place next door. That silent treatment is exactly what a slow mobile site is doing to a prospective diner.
What's fascinating here is how this dynamic forces us to rethink traditional marketing silos. The sources emphasize that we often talk about search visibility, so getting people to the site via SEO,
Right.
and then conversion, which is getting them to actually book a table, we treat them as two entirely separate disciplines managed by different teams.
But in the context of restaurant urgency, they're inextricably linked. Speed acts as the bridge between the two.
Exactly.
I'm looking at how the sources describe the local SEO journey, and it's basically a vicious cycle if you get it wrong. It usually starts on a Google business profile or on Google Maps. That's the top of the funnel.
Right. A hungry diner finds you there. They click the website button for more detail. And if your site performs
They
poorly,
bounce right back to the search results.
and when they bounce, that sends a direct negative signal to the search engine. Google's algorithm registers that the user clicked your link, found the experience lacking, and immediately returned to click on a competitor.
Someone who offered clearer, faster information.
Precisely. So all the marketing budget and effort poured into local SEO to secure that top spot is just wasted because the friction on the website killed the conversion.
Wow.
Furthermore, that bounce rate slowly degrades your search ranking over time.
So the digital friction actually becomes the brand impression. The frustration a user feels with a lagging loading bar is subconsciously projected onto the restaurant itself.
Yes.
Like if the site is this chaotic, maybe the kitchen is chaotic too.
That is the exact subconscious leap the user makes. In a saturated market, if one site loads quickly, displays the menu clearly, and makes reservations frictionless, it inherently feels more reliable to the guest.
Okay, so we know the guest is frustrated, and we know the brand is taking a hit. But frustration is highly subjective. A menu loading in 3 seconds might feel fine to me, but agonizing to you.
Sure.
So how does a search engine like Google actually quantify that annoyance so we can measure it? Because the sources spend a lot of time translating some serious geek speak into guest experience.
They do. And they center around what Google calls core web vitals.
Okay.
These are the specific measurable metrics search engines use to determine if a page is actually delivering a good user experience.
When I first saw these acronyms in the research, my eyes definitely glazed over. But when you unpack the why behind them, they're actually brilliant indicators of human behavior.
They really are.
The first one is largest contentful paint, or LCP. From my understanding, this is measuring how quickly the main most important piece of content appears on the screen.
Correct. For a restaurant, the LCP is usually the hero image at the top of the page or the text block of the menu itself.
Gotcha.
The psychological component here is anticipation. If the background colors load, but the user is staring at a blank space where the menu should be, their anxiety spikes.
They wonder if the site is broken or if their connection dropped.
Exactly. A fast LCP reassures the user immediately that they have arrived at the right place and the information they need is ready.
Then there is interaction to next paint, or INP. This is all about responsiveness.
This one is critical for conversion. INP measures the time between a user tapping something like the reserve a table button or an accordion dropdown for the dessert menu, and the site actually visually reacting to that tap.
Oh, this is what causes the dreaded rage click.
Yes.
You tap the Bic Now button, nothing happens, so you assume you missed it, and you tap it 3 more times. Suddenly the page freezes because your phone's processor is trying to execute the same JavaScript command 4 times simultaneously.
That's exactly the mechanism behind it. The site might look fully loaded, but in the background, heavy scripts are still hogging the phone's resources.
Oh, wow.
When the user taps, the phone is too busy processing those scripts to respond to the interaction. It is incredibly jarring for a user.
The third vital is cumulative layout shift, or CLS. This measures visual stability. Basically, does the page jump around unexpectedly while it's loading?
That's right.
Let me try an analogy here to ground this one. It seems like CLS is the digital equivalent of a wobbly restaurant table. You sit down, you reach over to take a sip of water, the table suddenly shifts under your weight, and you spill water everywhere.
That's a great way to think about it.
In the digital world, you go to tap dinner menu on your phone, but just as your thumb comes down, an oversized image finally loads at the very top of the page. The entire layout shifts downward, and your thumb accidentally taps buy gift card instead.
That wobbly table analogy perfectly captures the loss of control the user feels. You spill the water, or you misclick and end up on a totally irrelevant page, and the resulting spike of frustration is identical.
Yeah.
The user feels penalized for interacting with your business.
I can see how developers obsess over these metrics, but let's push back on this from the perspective of an owner.
Okay.
If a restaurant owner is dealing with rising food costs, staffing shortages, and preparing for a busy Friday night dinner service, are they really supposed to be lying awake at night worrying about their cumulative layout shift?
Framed that way, absolutely not. No restaurant owner should be memorizing acronyms, but they must demand the business outcomes those acronyms represent.
Right, the outcomes.
The translation for the owner is simply this. Pages must show useful content fast, they must respond to taps instantly, and they must not jump around. That is the essence of digital hospitality.
So it's about the feeling of the experience.
Exactly. If a reservation page or a private dining inquiry form doesn't feel smooth on a mobile device, you are failing at hospitality before the guest has even arrived.
Looking at these sources, what surprised me is that these businesses aren't intentionally building slow websites. They aren't ignoring their digital presence.
No, not at all.
They're actually breaking their sites by trying to be too helpful or too visually impressive.
It is almost always done with the best of intentions. They want a beautiful, immersive, feature-rich website that reflects their physical dining room.
But in doing so, they overload the browser.
Right. They use massive, uncompressed photography. They embed interactive maps. They add tracking scripts, social media feeds, pulling in their latest high-resolution Instagram posts.
And they layer on third-party widgets for reservations, online ordering, and loyalty programs.
And the research points out a very specific mechanical mistake with how those widgets are deployed. It's not just that the restaurant uses an online ordering system, it's where they allow that code to execute.
This is a major culprit.
Yeah. Huge culprit. Developers or owners will often load a heavy third-party widget on every single page of the site simply because it's easier to drop the code into the global header.
Oh, I see.
But think about the consequence. If your online ordering script is loading in the background on the homepage, the About Us page, and the directions page, it is demanding processing power from the user's phone before the guest has even decided what action to take.
You are forcing the phone to download the entire ordering apparatus just to show someone your address.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Keep the path simple. Only load the tools where they are explicitly needed.
Here's where it gets really interesting. We hit one of the most passionate debates in the sources, the massive problem of PDF menus.
Oh, yes.
The research highlights PDF menus as a cardinal sin. They are hostile to mobile users, terrible for accessibility, and effectively invisible to search engines.
They are the worst.
But wait, I have to push back on this on behalf of a busy restaurant manager.
Mm-hmm.
They just spent hours finalizing the new seasonal menu. It looks beautiful in print. Uploading that exact PDF file to the website takes like 10 seconds.
Sure.
Why is prioritizing a digital HTML menu so critical that we're telling them to abandon that 10-second convenience?
Because that 10 seconds of convenience for the manager creates a miserable experience for every single mobile visitor.
Mm-hmm.
Let's look at the mechanics of what happens when a guest clicks a PDF link on their phone.
Okay.
First, the phone has to download a file that is often several megabytes in size, designed for an 8.5 by 11 inch piece of paper. Then the guest is forced to pinch, zoom, and scroll horizontally and vertically just to read the appetizer descriptions.
Yeah, that's awful.
If they are outside dealing with screen glare, it's a nightmare. It entirely breaks the mobile experience.
And from a search engine perspective, it's even worse. If someone opens a PDF, the search engine doesn't see the rich text inside it in the same way, right?
To a search engine crawler, a PDF is essentially a dead end. Google wants structured data it can index and serve to users.
Right.
When you invest the time to build a fast, crawlable HTML menu directly into the web page, you are turning every single dish, every category, and every dietary note into a search opportunity.
That makes the local SEO mechanism so clear. If a user is doing a voice search in their car and they ask, "Hey Google, where can I get gluten-free pasta near me in Orange County?" An HTML menu allows Google to instantly scan your site.
Exactly.
It sees the text gluten-free pasta properly tagged and serves your restaurant as the answer. If that same text is locked inside a PDF, Google essentially sees a giant blank box. It doesn't know you offer it, so you lose the customer.
HTML menus act as a powerful magnet for local SEO. Plus, because they are just text and lightweight styling, they load significantly faster than a PDF download.
That makes sense.
Now, the sources do offer a compromise. PDFs can stay, but only as a secondary download option for people who specifically want to print the menu. The primary default experience must be an HTML web page.
Okay, so the same logic applies to imagery. Visuals absolutely sell the food.
Of course.
But uploading an oversized, uncompressed 6 megabyte photo straight from a digital camera and expecting the user's phone browser to somehow download it, fix it, and scale it down to fit a tiny screen is a massive waste of resources.
Yes. Images need to be compressed, sized correctly for mobile, and lazy loaded, meaning they only download when the user actually scrolls down to see them.
So we've identified the common pitfalls. Uncompressed photos, widgets loading everywhere, and the dreaded PDF menu. Imagine you are a restaurant owner or a marketing director listening to this, and you pull up your own site and realize you are guilty at every single one of these things.
It happens a lot.
If a business is facing all these issues at once, how do they fix them without bringing their operations to a halt? They can't just shut down the site for a month.
No, they need a practical triage strategy. The absolute worst thing leadership can do is run a site through a speed testing tool, panic at a low technical score, and order a complete from-scratch rebuild of the website.
The sources are very clear that you have to perform a practical audit first. Yes, use diagnostic tools like PageSpeed Insights to gather data, but you must also experience the site in the real world.
Right.
Don't test it on your top-of-the-line office computer connected to lightning-fast Wi-Fi.
You have to open it on a mid-range phone on a standard cellular data connection during peak decision times. See what the actual guest experience is when they are standing on a street corner trying to book a table at 6 p.m. on a Friday.
Yeah. Look for those slow first loads, the buttons that freeze when tapped, the layouts that shift and cause misclicks.
Once you identify the problems, you have to prioritize based on business value, not just chasing a perfect score of 100 on a technical dashboard.
Let's frame this prioritization model with a restaurant analogy. If there is a literal fire in the kitchen and the wallpaper in the guest restroom is peeling,
you don't form a committee to discuss the wallpaper.
Right. You put out the fire.
I love that analogy. It perfectly illustrates how to sequence the work.
Looking at the triage strategy and the sources, it's a four-step process. Why don't we break down the logic of this order? Step one is to fix anything blocking reservations, calls, directions, or online orders.
Because that is your kitchen fire. If the reserve button takes 5 seconds to respond, you are actively losing revenue by the minute.
Wow, yeah.
Fixing a broken link or a sluggish widget on your primary conversion path has the highest immediate return on investment. It immediately restores the revenue stream.
Step two is to improve the specific pages that receive the highest volume of mobile traffic. Usually that's the homepage and the menu.
Once the conversion paths are clear, you move to where the largest audience is. By optimizing the heavy images on the homepage or converting the PDF menu to HTML, you improve the brand impression for the vast majority of your visitors.
Which brings us to step three, optimizing site-wide assets like background scripts, global CSS, or tracking codes. Why wouldn't a developer want to start here since it affects the whole site?
Because optimizing site-wide architecture often requires significant developer time and extensive testing to ensure you didn't break anything. And the immediate impact on a single guest's ability to book a table might be negligible compared to step one.
I see.
You tackle the systemic architecture only after the immediate revenue leaks are plugged.
And finally, step four, improving broader content structure, like rewriting older blog posts or adjusting secondary page layouts.
That's the peeling wallpaper. It's important for long-term health and SEO, but it shouldn't distract you from the kitchen fire. What this four-step strategy does is create a shared language between business owners and web developers.
Speed optimization ceases to be an abstract IT chore.
Exactly.
It becomes a strategy for revenue protection. By taking this phased approach, it prevents businesses from embarking on disastrous all-or-nothing tech overhauls. You discover the highest risk gaps, fix those first to protect your income, and then methodically work your way down the list.
Precisely.
Okay, let's say the kitchen fire's out. The reservation button works instantly. The images are compressed. The menu is pure, fast HTML. The site is a well-oiled machine.
Yeah.
But how does a restaurant ensure they don't end up right back where they started 6 months later? Because website speed isn't a set-it-and-forget-it achievement.
It is not a permanent state. The sources introduce a concept called digital decay. Speed decays over time specifically because the business is alive and active.
Right, like the marketing team adds a new tracking pixel to measure a holiday ad campaign, or the general manager uploads 20 new high-resolution photos of the winter menu.
Or the reservation software pushes an automatic background update to its plugin. And each of those routine updates adds a little bit of weight to the site. They introduce a new script that blocks rendering, or a new image that causes a layout shift. Without ongoing maintenance, a site that is lightning fast in May can become painfully, frustratingly slow again by November.
So what does this all mean for you, the listener, if you are advising a business or running one yourself? How do you stop the digital front door from getting jammed again?
If we connect this to the bigger picture, the most common mistake leadership makes is treating site speed as a one-time project. It must become an ongoing operating discipline.
Right.
Before a single line of code is fixed, leadership needs to establish accountability. Who internally owns the maintenance? What specific revenue is at risk if we allow the site to decay?
The sources also explicitly warn against a very specific management trap, which is measuring activity instead of measuring outcomes.
This happens all the time in tech projects. Installing a new performance dashboard, running weekly speed tests, setting up automated email alerts, that is just activity.
It feels productive.
It feels productive, but it doesn't necessarily improve the guest experience. You must measure concrete outcomes. What does success actually look like after 90 days?
An outcome would be seeing a measurable drop in support calls from older guests who couldn't figure out the online ordering system because the buttons weren't responding.
Yes.
Or looking at the data and seeing a 15% increase in completed reservations from mobile devices.
Precisely. It's about tying the technical improvements back to business metrics. Mm-hmm. It also involves excellent documentation, knowing exactly what systems were changed, what third-party vendors were involved, and when the next review date is scheduled.
Makes total sense.
Sustainable results require treating the website like physical restaurant equipment. It needs a maintenance schedule. The sources suggest checking monthly for operational issues like a plugin update breaking a layout, and quarterly for broader strategy and performance trends.
If nobody owns the follow-up, the system drifts back into chaos. That is such a crucial insight. It's not just about building it right the first time. It's about building the organizational habit to keep it right.
Exactly.
And in a market like Orange County, where consumer expectations are incredibly high, a technical weakness never stays invisible for long. Your customers will feel the friction, and they will react to it, usually by quietly leaving and never coming back.
That's the harsh reality.
Which brings us to the core takeaway from this entire stack of research. In a high-expectation, hyper-competitive market, speed truly is a service. It is a vital form of digital hospitality that respects the guest's moment of intent. Fast sites win because they remove digital friction from the most urgent actions a hungry person wants to take: reading the menu, reserving a table, and placing an order.
It's ultimately about getting technology out of the guest's way so they can actually experience the physical hospitality and the incredible food that you do best.
We've spent this time unpacking how invisible digital friction, like a button taking 2 seconds too long to process, or a layout shifting unexpectedly under your thumb, can unconsciously destroy a customer's trust before they even step through the physical doors of a business.
It's powerful stuff.
And that leaves us with a final thought for you to mull over. We've applied this hypercritical lens of interaction speed and layout shifts to restaurant websites today. Mm. But it makes you wonder, if you were to audit your own physical workplace, the way you interact with your clients, or even your own daily routines using this exact same lens, what invisible friction points are slowly driving away your own customers, or perhaps even exhausting your own team without you ever realizing it? Thanks for joining us on this deep dive into the sources. We will catch you next time.